The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. We are here with the post game. We're starting off the road trip well, Isaac.
Yeah, man. I think we both thought the Grizzlies would get this win tonight, and we were correct. The Grizz get the win 126-115, beat the Bulls for the second time in a week. Zach LaVine and Satoransky were out tonight. Zach LaVine out for a health and safety protocol. Satoransky out with illness not related due to COVID, according to reports. So, Grizz were able to get a win. I think this was a game I thought the Grizz would win even if LaVine was playing, but definitely with him being out, I thought they'd get a win. Got away from themselves a little bit. I think in that first half, the Bulls were kind of flooding the paint, and the Grizzlies kind of saw some openings there from three and took a lot of three-pointers in the first half. I think they kind of made some adjustments in the second half and took better threes in the second half and played really well. A big third quarter from Dylan Brooks, and they just kind of ran away and hid and were able to pull this out double digits, 126-115. So nice way to start off this road trip. And again, we talked about this last night, getting off to a good start, and they were able to do that tonight.
Yep. These were games like this are games that you got to win if you want to stay in this playoff hunt. Big game from Dylan tonight. This is one of those beautiful box scores that we talk about.
Yeah. Right?
You know, everybody that played any minutes at all scored at least 6 points. Team rebounding, JV didn't. His double-double streak breaks. He had 7 rebounds tonight, but Ja had 7. JV had 7. Kyle Anderson had 11. And everybody else had 2 or 3. You know, just a great job overall rebounding the basketball. You know what JV can do and what he brings to the table. But this just shows you that, you know, you don't have to have him grabbing 14, 15, 16 rebounds a night for them to be effective. One thing that I've noticed in games, if you watch teams that James Harden and Russell Westbrook, some of these guards that are good rebounding guards, you watch these games, there's a lot of times that their big men will back off of a rebound and let them grab it so they can start the run. And JV doesn't do that a whole lot with Ja. You know, JV, you know,
he wants his rebounds.
Yeah. You know, like he's going up there. Even if it's just him and Ja, he's going to get that board. And so I think that if he gets to the point where he's kind of letting Ja grab him so he can get out and run, you may see Morant's numbers kind of climbing up. I was looking to pull it up before we got started here, and I actually didn't get it done because I was sidetracked, but I would almost guarantee that you see Morant's rebound numbers go up by 2 or 3 per game if it comes to the point where JV is letting him grab the ball off the rim and run with it.
Yeah, I totally think so. And I total team effort tonight. Like you talk about, you look at this box score, just, man, guys just contributing all over the place. Big night for the bench. Again, I was really impressed with Tilly. Anytime he gets significant minutes, he does some good things out there. 23 minutes tonight, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, knocked out a couple threes, had a big hustle play. Man, he gets down on the floor, man. He makes those plays. He likes to mix it up inside. I mean, he comes out there and he plays hard. And every time he finds himself in a position where he gets significant minutes, man, he plays really well. And again, I still think that he's going to be a role player for this team going forward. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that just kind of wash out like you kind of see with these two-way guys that we see at times. I think he's going to be a guy that sticks. And again, I like his energy. I like what he brings to the table. And again, man, he can stretch the floor a little bit. I mean, he struggled from three, but that's going to happen when you have inconsistent minutes. But again, knocked down 2 tonight, and I really like what I saw of him.
Yeah, I like the 40 attempts. I think that is a good number. When the Grizzlies get below that, I don't feel like they're shooting the three enough. And the game, the way that they're playing the game right now, I think that you have to shoot threes. And they have guys that are on this. You look at it tonight, you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that made three. And out of those, 8 guys that made a three, out of those 8 guys, 6 of them made more than one. So you have multiple guys on this team that can shoot a three and make more than one a game pretty consistently. Let them shoot it with the pace of the game and the way everybody, you're going to be so far behind. We've talked about this in previous shows. It takes 2 twos to make up for 1 3. Let it fly, man. I like seeing them get to that 40 attempts, and they have to be good attempts. You know, you don't just want to come across half court and start chucking them from the logo.
It's kind of what we saw in the first half. I think they took some bad ones in the first half. I think a little bit of that was how the Bulls were regarding them, but I think they only had 16 points in the paint in the first half, and they had 16 total in the third quarter and 14 in the fourth. So ended up the second half with 30. So they kind of got a little way from themselves. But like you said, in this era of basketball, man, you got to knock down three-pointers. It's hard to win. The way the Grizz used to win with grit and grind, that's not going to work in a modern era. I mean, it was getting away from that then, and it's really gotten away from it now. But, they've been one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league in the month of April. And like you said, man, let it fly. 17 of 40 tonight for 42.5%. And that's what you like to see. I mean, multiple guys putting up three-pointers. And, I mean, you got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like you have about five, six guys that made more than one three-pointer tonight. And that's, again, I mean, that's kind of what you want to see from this team. And it seems like it's contagious. DB, 4-7 tonight. Grayson Allen, 3-7. And you see Tyus. I like when Tyus comes down with confidence and pulls up for three. And he was confident tonight, man. He got it cooking a little bit. Got hot there. I think that was the third quarter, man. And he's fun to watch. 7 assists tonight. No turnovers. A big game for him. And he's been fantastic of late.
Yeah. Always takes care of the ball, man. Every time. He just... Not that he doesn't make mistakes, it happens, but it's pretty rare. And he does not have multiple turnover games. I'd have to go back through the box scores to count them, but I would guarantee you that it's going to be less than a handful of multiple turnover games throughout the season, because he is just very smart with the basketball and he makes the right passes.
Yeah, I totally trust him when he's in the game. I mean, like you said, there are times where he will turn the ball over, but it's rare. I mean, he usually makes the right decision. And just like Ja, I mean, he makes some great passes and put guys in great position to score. He's one of the best backup point guards in the league. I mean, he goes through his struggles. He has some games where especially offensively, where he doesn't score. But usually he takes care of the basketball. I forgot they put out some stat that he's at like 40 assists and only 3 turnovers over the last, or maybe in this month. I can't remember what the time frame was, but it was a remarkable number. I know PD threw that out on the broadcast, and he's really taking care of the basketball. And I thought about tonight how people kind of, when they signed that contract, you kind of looked at his numbers from Minnesota and people were kind of scratching their head, but why would they pay him like that? And now I think that's a fantastic contract, because he's done a fantastic job. And again, I think he's one of the best backup point guards in the league. And, I mean, he does his job. I mean, I like guys that come in off the bench, do the job at 10 points, man. The 7 assists tonight, 2 steals, man, knocked down 2 threes, 4-7 from the floor. Really, really efficient and just played a fantastic game tonight.
Yeah, speaking of efficiency, Dylan Brooks can't talk tonight. I apologize. 12-19 from the field, 63%, 32 points, season high. He was 4 shy of his career high. But I'm going to bash him just a tad. He had a good game. I'm going to bash him just a tad. We were gassing this dude up.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same
last show, man. About how he is not making these stupid fouls and he's doing good. And then 2 of them tonight, man. I'm like, oh. The one at the end of the half on Kobe White, I'm just
brutal,
like,
man.
That was like, what are you doing? And then he had one. Was it at the end of the third when he got that second one? There was another one that it was just kind of a cheap foul. They were in the bonus. I think it was the end of third.
Yeah. I mean, that.
And yeah, I'm just like, oh, here we are. We're gassing you up. And then you turn around the very next game and you have 2 crazy fouls. It still didn't cost him any minutes. He played the game. I didn't know what's his minutes total here.
He played 29.
Yeah, almost 30 minutes. So didn't affect his playing time, really. But, you know, it's just coming back, smacking us in the face. Yeah, gas him up. He's doing great. And then next game, the stuff that you were talking about, he turns around and does it anyway. So the nature of the beast, I guess.
Yeah, he ended up with 5, but he stayed in the game, didn't foul out, and was able to play, like you said, 29 minutes. So it didn't affect him. But, yeah, man, 2 bad was the one on Kobe White there. I can't remember at the end of the quarter. They were in the bonus, and it was his 4th foul, man. I was like, that's a brutal one. You can't take that one. But looking down the box score, 19 of 24 from the free throw line for 79%. So good there. They've struggled some games of late from the free throw line. Did pretty good there tonight. 33 assists. Got to the magic number of 30, man. They don't lose many games when they get to 30. So 33 assists tonight. Only 6 turnovers in the game. So a really, really clean game for him. 26, they outscored the Bulls by 23 points in fast break points. Big number there. And another game where they lose the battle of the points in the paint. Bulls with 52, Grizzlies with 46. But I think that goes back to the three-point shooting. Grizz knocked down 17 tonight. And when you knock down 17 threes, you don't have to score all those floaters and score all those points in the paint.
Yeah, yeah. They outshot them from the three-point line. They made 4 more threes. That's a 12-point deficit. So, you know, that kind of makes up for the difference in the paint. You have to adapt to the times, the way that the game is changing. And that's something that I've wondered and multiple times this season, if they're going to be able to do that. Are they going to actually just shoot the three, just get out there, you get it, you got a good look, let it go. And Grayson is not afraid to shoot it. It seems like he may be kind of the fire starter per se. When he's in the game, if he's got a good look, he's going to shoot it. And it seems like everybody else just kind of falls in line with it.
Yeah, I mean, he does. That's what I'm saying. I kind of alluded to that earlier. When he's aggressive, it seems like everybody is aggressive from three. When he's knocking them down, I think guys see that I can pull threes too. Desmond Bane got involved tonight. He's two or three. You still want to see him shoot more than that. I mean, because you see how efficient he is. It's usually two or three, three or four every night, man. You didn't want to see him get up 8, 9. Like, he would have a green light every time he's out there. If I'm Coach Deacon, I mean, if you got a good look, take it, man. He has one of the prettiest shots that I've ever seen. I think I tweeted out earlier in the game that I could watch his 3-point shot on the time loop for eternity. It's just beautiful the way his shots, they have a certain way of going in, the way the nets flip when he shoots threes. I just love it. It's just a beautiful pull-up jump shot when he knocks those down. But I still would like to see him shoot more, but he's been super efficient. He struggled a little bit when he came back from his grandmother's funeral. He struggled a little bit, but he's right all the way back on track now, and he knocks him down when he shoots him. You just like wish he'd shoot a few more. But 24th game of the season with the Grizzlies, got six or more guys in double figures. And, I mean, again, when you see that, these are usually what their winning box scores look like. I mean, they had another game like that against Dallas. Unfortunately, they couldn't pull it out, but again, man, to start off this road trip, I feel like this is one that they had to have, and they took care of business. It was a little dicey early, tied after the first, tied at halftime, but the Grizzlies were able to – the Bulls came out and got, I think, a 9-point lead in the third quarter, and from then on, Grizzlies reared back and never looked back and got a big win tonight. But, man, traveling to Milwaukee tomorrow night, it's going to be a tough one. Played a close one against Milwaukee back on March the 4th, 112-111. At FedEx Forum, game where the Grizzlies had an opportunity to get a big win. The Bucks are an 8.5-point favorite tomorrow night. Was hoping we could possibly miss Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he was back. Played, I think, 25 minutes against the Hawks Thursday night, so I would suspect that he'll be in the lineup tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't see – with him coming off of a rest day, I don't see any way that he sets that game out. If he re-aggravated that injury playing – it's not they're going to be safe. They want him healthy for the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be overly cautious. Like, he's probably not playing back to backs for a week or so, maybe two. But that there's no reason for him to set out in this game against the Grizzlies. It's not a back to back. They're coming off of a rest day. I think that he plays. Still think the Grizzlies can win this game. They played with him, like I said, March 4th. Came down to the wire. They had a chance to win the game, and Drew Holiday came down and just hit him with a dagger. And they were, again, one shot, just like the Luka shot. They were one defensive stop away from beating a good team.
Same thing with Denver. Just one stop away, man, and really close game. And that's the thing. This team has a tendency to step up when they play against the better teams in the league. And this team has been playing well on the road. This was 5 of 6 away from FedEx Forum that they won. So I don't ever go into a game really thinking that this team has no chance of winning. I mean, there's some tough ones. Like, we kind of talked about that Denver game at the end of this road trip, and it's a back-to-back after playing two tough Portland games. That one is one that you might look at and say it's a schedule loss, but under normal circumstances, I think this team on any given night can win a game. They have that much talent, the depth that we talked about, and they can surprise some teams sometimes. And again, that could be tomorrow night because, again, this team has played really well on the road. And on the other side of that coin, talking about Giannis, a week ago they said, or 2 weeks ago they said, Justice Winslow, a week and a half ago, Justice Winslow will be back by the end of the week. This is the last game of this week. Will we see Justice Winslow tomorrow night?
If not, they were lying to us, man. That's I guess, you know, Jenkins heard me and he wanted us to podcast tonight because I said that if I turn on my TV and he's playing, I'm just shutting it off and I'm done. Yeah. So he's like, let's keep Hoopball Grizz going. We're gonna keep him around. Now we beat this like a dead horse talking about the injuries and what they're doing. Yeah. Who knows? I'm just gonna tune in, and if he plays, great. If not, it's not even going to be a surprise to me. I know what they said. He's going to be back by the end of the week, but I don't expect him to play tomorrow. I think it's going to end up being the Denver game before he comes back.
Yeah, I agree. I got a feeling that he doesn't play tomorrow night either, but it would be a nice game to have him. I think the way you kind of look at some of the matchups in the game with Milton and Antetokounmpo, he's a guy that you'd like to have out there against these Bucks team, but I'd be surprised if he plays as well. I'm thinking maybe there's a lot of thinking that if he plays, they with the back-to-back, they felt like that was a game where they could win tonight without him. The Bucks game is tougher, and they'd like to have him in, but I'm skeptical. I mean, we talk so much, and these targeted dates are weird. Like, and it seemed like when they talked about him, and they made this statement that they had, like, a targeted date in mind, and when a guy's ready to play, let him play. Don't say, oh, well, he's going to be back April 15th or April 17th or whatever the date is. Just throwing dates out there. Don't have a targeted date, but just whenever it happens, it happens. It seems like they just have a plan in mind of when a guy is ready. It's not like, boom, that automatically your body's ready and it wasn't ready last night or something like that. It's just weird, but, I mean, that's just what we're dealing with, and that's how they handle it. And I think maybe that's the same thing going on with Jaren Jackson. Maybe this whole time when they said the end of April, they literally meant the end of April, and it wasn't ever going to be any sooner than that.
Yeah. I want to go back to the game a little bit. There was a lineup that Jenkins had out there, and it's obviously injury-related. You know, this lineup, Everybody's healthy.
I know where you're going.
It's not going to be out there, but the JV, Bain, Tyus, Tilly, and Conchar lineup. Conchar,
yeah.
I got up to get something to drink, and I came back, and I'm like, what is this? Couldn't believe it. It was I don't even know what to call it. I was really surprised. It almost feels like he made some changes in the rotation with when he put JV back on the floor right there with those guys. That doesn't seem I was trying to remember back, and it's tough sometimes because, you know, we've got so many games here every other day and they're playing back to backs. But I don't remember him ever having JV out on the floor with the second unit like that.
Yeah, it was surprising because when I saw it, I was like, does he usually play with the second unit? I can't remember. Like you said, it's so many games, but I don't remember him playing with the second unit. But that was definitely a weird one. It's weird, and you think even with the injuries, and it is not bragging on these guys or anything, but you think with Tilly and Contral, you kind of try to stagger that minutes, but it just seems like they're always on the floor at the same time. It seemed like you kind of mix and match it or kind of switch some things up. But like I said, he usually sticks to a rotation. And when guys are out, he plays those other guys in the same rotation that he would play if they were healthy. And that's just kind of what he does. He doesn't really switch anything up where he changes up where these guys play with these guys. You usually know who's going to be on the floor with who with this team. It's not a lot of mixing and matching going on with this team, even when guys are out.
Yeah, you know, you got to – Tilly and Conchar both bring great energy to the floor when they're out there.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
You spoke on know, Tilly, you know, on getting down and dirty, getting after the ball. And
Conchar had a good game tonight, too.
Yeah, yep. You know, those guys. So there can definitely be a time when both of those guys are on the floor that you see a little bit of a stall. But I think overall, Tilly doesn't bother me being out there because of the upside. And again, developmental season, so sick of saying that, but you know, let him play. Let's see what he's got. He's got the shot. He showed that off a little bit tonight, I think we'll see more of that going forward whenever he does get the opportunity to play. But I've got no issue. As long as they're not just getting snowballed out there, let it ride.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the situation they're in, you're almost out of necessity. They're going to have to play at some point. And again, I mean, they both played well tonight. You just think long term, however long this goes on for multiple games like it has, you think you try to stagger them a little bit. But tonight, I mean, they played really well. Just kind of checking around the NBA here. The Knicks are up 4 at Dallas at halftime. That's kind of one to watch. Grizzlies, with a Dallas loss, would move back into a game and a half of 7 behind Dallas. Pelicans fall again tonight, 117-115 in overtime in Washington, a game where Pelicans seemed to have control. I think they were up 5 with 2 minutes to go in regulation and end up going to overtime and dropping that one. So the Grizzlies move a full 4 games ahead of them. And I think that's another big reason why this was a big win for the Grizzlies. Because, I mean, if they can stiff off the Pelicans, I think they're pretty safe for the play-in. I mean, I think right now Sacramento is about out of it. I think it's 11 teams for 10 spots right now, and I think the Pels are the only team that could really spoil this for one of the teams that are currently in the top 9 right now. So, I mean, you just got to kind of look at it. I mean, you look at this box score, 42 minutes for Ingram, 34 points, Zion with 21 points. I mean, they have guys playing well, and you have your two stars going big, and you still drop games. I mean, they just can't guard anybody, and that's the big thing with them. Offensively, they're fine, but they can't guard anybody, and that's weird when you have a Stan Van Gundy coach team. I thought this team would be better than that going into the season, and you talk to some of their fans, and they're like, oh, well, we're in a rebuild just like you guys, and we've talked about this before. That team didn't go into the season looking to be a rebuild. I know they traded Drew Holiday, and I know they unloaded some guys at the deadline, J.J. Redick and everything, but that going into the season, this team, especially after last year, this team thought for sure they were going to be a playoff team. And you got stars like Zion Wilson, you got Brandon Ingram, you on TV every night. This team wasn't expected to be 10 to 11 in the West.
Yeah, absolutely not. That's a big surprise for me. Two-way player, Najee Marshall, man.
Yeah,
man, 16 points, 11 steals.
6 assists, yeah.
And it just makes me wonder, are they going to convert this guy to a full-time contract? Are they going to keep him on that two-way? And I think this season, because of COVID, they kind of changed the game limits and stuff like that. But I think that he's too good of a player to stay on a two-way going into next season, because I would imagine that the roles are probably going to go back pretty similar to what they are now, or what they were previously before COVID. Than what they are this season. I don't think we have another season where they get extended COVID minutes. We could possibly still be dealing with it, but it's not obviously not completely behind us. Vaccines are getting out. There's things. It's getting more and more back to normal. And so I feel like having a guy like that with that much talent down in the G League, is he going to stick around? Or is he going to be like, all right, let's test the market. Let's see what I can get in free agency. You guys didn't believe in me. I think that's a lot of talent there that they're passing up. And he showed tonight what he's capable of.
Yeah, I mean, played 33 minutes. I think he was third on the team in minutes. So a big game for him. I definitely think that they have to take him off their two-way. Because if not, I don't see him back there. Because, I mean, he's shown that he can play in this league. And to have a guy like that in the G League, I think would be a mistake. So I think they definitely need to convert that to a record deal. But man, it's just, you just got to look at these standings, and I feel good about where the Grizzlies are. I mean, especially like I said, if they can win 2 or 3 more games on this road trip, I think it's going to be really hard for the Pelicans or for anybody to catch them. And again, I still look at that situation at 6 and 7. I think Portland Grizzlies with 3 games left against the Blazers. If you could find a way to win 2 of those games, it could get real interesting down the stretch. And maybe Dallas isn't a team you're chasing. Maybe they jump up to 6. We talked about this last night. And maybe Portland is a team that drops down, and maybe something happens there. Because, I mean, if you can get up to that 7 seed, I mean, that changes things in a big way.
Yeah. Now, San Antonio almost helped the Grizzlies out tonight. They were
They
took Portland to the limit. It was that without Dame. Dame set out tonight, but that would have been huge for the Grizzlies had San Antonio won that game. That's still goes back to the freaking Mavs game, man. If they win that game, they're in so much better shape. If they win the Mavs game, and that, you know, like you said, the Mavs are down right now at the half. It's still a lot of basketball to play. But if they win that Mavs game, it completely changes the scenery. They have a shot, I think, to get to the sixth seed. But losing the Mavs game, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of work. They're going to have to play great basketball in order to get up to that sixth seed. I'd love to say that they got them in it. Got it in them. But I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough. If you look at this road trip now, if they do something remarkable and go 4-3 or something, 5-2, and do something crazy, I think they'd have a shot. Because you look at the schedule down the stretch, and I think it sets up well. And you go back to that Mavs game, would have been big because you win that one. They have another game left at FedEx Forum against the Mavs, so you could have took two from the Mavs, and that would have been huge. I think that would have kind of put the Mavs by the eight ball and gave the Grizz a great chance to get ahead of them. But this road trip is the big thing. What happens on this road trip? I think at the end of this road trip, we'll know a lot more about possibly where this team is going to finish, because I think at that point, you think you're getting Jaren Jackson Jr. back, you work him back in, so you think they'll be playing pretty well. And you look at the rest of the schedule after this road trip. I mean, you have the game with Portland coming up after the road trip, and then you have home to the Magic, and then you're at the Magic. Those are two games where you, even though the Magic have, even though they've thinned out and kind of bottom out a little bit, they've still been winning games and been competitive. But you look at those two games, those are two games you look at that you think you could possibly win. And then you got a lot of home games. You're at the Knicks, you're at the Timberwolves, at the Pistons, at the Raptors, home to the Pelicans, and to the Mavericks, two games with the Kings, and you finish with the Warriors. There's a lot of winnable games there. I think
there is, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think after this road trip, I think they could go on a little bit of a run, especially if you can get Jaren going and Winslow back with this team and everybody healthy. I think they can go on a bit of a run. So you go back to that Mavericks game, man. That's just a tough one, man. He had it on the home floor and, man, just let it slip. And speaking of that game, I think those two free throws might have gotten in Grayson's head and missed a couple more tonight.
Yeah, that's very it's so weird to me, man. And I know this game – there's a mental aspect to it, and that's Sharon Brown. She wrote a piece for Basketball News about LaMarcus Aldridge and him retiring. I read the story, and I saw Aldridge announce his retirement, but I didn't really know much about what he was diagnosed with and what kind of led to it. And then Sharon kind of shared a personal experience in her article, and it's like, holy crap, man. Can you imagine what it took for him to not just be completely stressed out going out there night in and night out? He's been dealing with this since 2007. So for, 14 years, he's been dealing with this. And at any given moment, he could be out there in the middle of the game and basically just pass out. And
yeah,
it's a lot of mental out there too, as well. You know, obviously you have to have the physical skills to get out there, but it's very well, even just in pro sports in general, you look at, some of the kickers that were great kickers and got into a pressure situation and it broke them. There's a level of mental toughness that you have to have dealing with the public and the scrutiny that you're going to get. Look at what Grayson Allen deals with. He had the trouble in college. He got the label of a dirty player, tripping players, stuff like that. And that still comes back. People still legitimately hate that dude.
Yeah, I heard someone said it was talking about they were watching the Bulls fan. I can't remember who it was on Twitter tonight. Said they were watching the Bulls broadcast and they said they were just killing him, talking about his antics and how dirty he was. I'm like, he hasn't done anything tonight or that I saw that was dirty or anything. He can't shake that label, no matter what he does. I mean, the stuff with Trey in Atlanta. I mean, it wasn't anything, but with it being Grayson Allen, any kind of situation like that gets magnified. Like he's really this dirty guy, and again, he hasn't been that. But like you said, I mean, there's definitely a mental aspect to it, and I can't even imagine. You just never know what a guy is going through. Speaking of LaMarcus Aldridge, you saw Chris Bosh retire because of a heart issue. I mean, I can't imagine going out there with, like you said, with the thought that any minute that something could happen, you could have a heart attack or pass out or anything, to keep going out there and playing at the level that you have to be at to be an NBA athlete, that's pretty remarkable. So, I mean, shout out to L.A. He had a fantastic career out of Texas. I mean, I wasn't always the guy that I liked, kind of a rivalry at Portland, going back to the grit and grind days. But, I mean, a tremendous career, and shout out to him for persevering through that, man, because, again, people never know what a guy's going through. And, again, this game is definitely mental. And when you go to talk about free throw shooting, it's very similar to a field goal kicker. I mean, you've seen guys, fantastic kicker their entire career, and then have a bad missed kick in the playoffs or something. They're just never the same again. It's called get the yips, and it's just a mental thing, and you can't break it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. And it's crazy. Free throws, when you're at the free throw line, that's when it's just you. It's your teammates don't matter at that point. And if you're the field goal kicker, your teammates do matter a little bit. They got a block for you. But, you know, it's your job to just, you know, be it through. And there's a lot to it, especially in a high-pressure situation like that Mavericks game. But, you know, tonight there wasn't a ton of pressure on him to make those free throws. He just missed. I hope that we don't see that going forward. I hope that it's just kind of a fluke thing. He hits a tough little streak here and then gets back on track. I think that you're going to need him to knock down his free throws for the Grizz to be successful moving forward.
Yeah, because it definitely had to affect his three-point shooting, because he's still knocking it down from out there. But like you said, when you're at the line, it's just you. You just kind of tune everything out. It's just, again, just like kicking in the NFL. I mean, I don't envy those guys at all. I mean, you have all these guys out there. I know we get off subject a little bit, but you have all these guys out there beating himself up all game, and then it comes down to you making a field goal kick. That's a lot of pressure, man, especially you're in the playoffs, and then you make this kick, and it's a make or miss, win or lose type situation, and kickers are in those situations all the time, and that's a lot of pressure, man. I look at some of those kicks, and I'm like, man, I wouldn't want to be that guy right now.
Yeah. Yep, I agree completely. I'm going to go back. Dylan Brooks' post-game interview with Rob Fisher, he made this comment. He said, it doesn't matter who's on the floor, who's playing, who's in front of us. We've got to take care of our business. And I feel like that is just a mindset for the team. I don't know. You know, he didn't specifically say I'm speaking for everybody on the team. But we've heard him talk about this and other guys kind of, you know, in this manner, talking about it moving forward. I think they've got to have that mentality for the rest of the games. You were looking at the games in May. And there's not a game, when you turn the calendar over to May, there's not a single game that you look at. Okay, maybe there's one. But out of their final, was that 10 games? They played 10 in May. Out of their last 10 games, there's only maybe one that you're looking at. It's like, man, I'm not sure if they can win that one. And that's the Pelicans, because for whatever
reason.
Man,
they better win that game, man. I'm looking at it, they got to win that game. But I can't lose to the Pelicans again.
I'm with you. But they have been the unicorn, man. I don't get it. I do not understand it. The Pelicans will play other teams. And at Washington tonight, couldn't close the game
weird,
out.
Man.
And then they get to the Grizzlies, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to turn it on and kick the crap out of it.
Yeah, just put up 140, man. Just, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I just go back to Kobe. I mean, I remember Nico Melli just coming into FedEx Forum and just killing us, and he hadn't done anything since. I mean, it's weird how some teams just have certain teams' numbers. And, I mean, I saw that, I mean, Zion Williamson and J.J. Redick on the podcast just clowning the Grizz, talking about how easy their defense is to read. I mean, they got to beat these. I know Redick is not there anymore, but they got to beat these guys. I've been looking at that game ever since that last one. I was like, man, we're finally going to get them this time. There's no way. Law of averages is going to have to even out here. At some point, we're going to beat this team. You see what they do against other teams. Grizz got to get into film work and figure out what they can do to beat this team, because other teams find it out. I mean, they struggle against really bad teams and lose a lot of times and get blown out by bad teams. So I don't know what it is, but again, like we said, sometimes teams just have your number, and they've certainly had that for multiple years now, even longer than that, even going back to when they were the Hornets. I mean, the Grizzlies have always struggled with that team. Even going back to Chris Paul, when Chris Paul was there, they've struggled with that team for years, and I don't know what it is. It's weird. I've gone down to New Orleans several times, man, when a sad drive back to Memphis after a loss down there at the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, you know, I've got bad news for you, though, man. The Grizzlies have not won a game that I've been at this year. And I'm going to be at that game. So, you know, fingers crossed we can break that streak. That's the next game I'm going to be able to make it to. And they've been close. They've been in the games, just couldn't win. And I really hope that changes whenever I get to that game, because I'm sick of watching them lose to the Pelicans.
Definitely. Shout out to Sane, though, man. Two road games at Atlanta, at Chicago. He was there tonight. We got to win in both of those games. So shout out to Sane. Sane going on these road games and them winning. But
I hope he got some pizza while he was in Chicago, man.
Yeah, he did. I saw it on Facebook. He got some deep dish pizza today. Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Good. Good. Gotta get pizza. If you go to Chicago and you don't eat pizza, man, you're not even American.
Yeah, man. There's a couple places there. Uno's is a really good place. And I think it's Portillo's. They have pizza and hot dogs, man. It's good stuff. Italian beef. It's good, really good food up there in Chicago, man. I got to get back up there once. Once everything is opens up and normal is normal again, but
yeah, man. Hey, we can make a road trip and watch a game at the United Center, man. I'd definitely be down for that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here. Do you got anything else before we go, man?
No, man. Just again, man. Grizzlies now won 5 of their last 6 away from FedEx Forum, man. Big game tomorrow night. If you could start this road trip out 2-0, I think that bodes really well, man. So let's keep it going. Hopefully we see Justice Winslow back. If not, like you said, they lied to us, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play. But I'd like to see him in uniform tomorrow night, because they're going to need all hands on deck defensively against the Bucks. And, man, that's all I got.
Yeah, definitely missing Melton and Winslow. And this is a great game for those guys to come back. I would love to see Jaren come back. We're getting close. This is past the middle part of the month. We're entering the end of the month now. So maybe Jaren comes back tomorrow. Get Jaren and Justice for the same game. That helps defensively a ton. I think Jaren will have a little problems when he first comes back, just with getting into
shape.
But still, ready for it. Any day now, Jaren, you can come back. Hopefully Justice is back for this game. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac's going to tell you where you can find him, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. Again, always on there talking Grizz. And a big win tonight, man. I'm excited for the rest of this road trip. And you said you'd like to get Jaren back here. I would like to see him on this road trip to kind of work him back in. So by the time they get to that last stretch with these wonderful games, you have him playing a little bit better. That'd be nice to see. But, man, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Hopefully we'll be discussing another Grizz win for David. This has been Isaac Simpson. And talk to you tomorrow night. Go Grizz.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.